Pain Slaves release, You Only Die Twice, comes out in June worldwide, well, more or less, with a couple of weeks difference. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the concept and ideas that you had when you set to release this album?
Yeah, well, I mean, it took a while to write the album. You know, I did it slowly, but, you know, in the period of 2 years. And, I don't know, it just became more guitar-oriented album, I think, this time than the other past albums that I've done. So, I mean, for me, it was a positive step to just get a little bit more darker and get a little bit more heavier as well, you know? So, I mean, you know, I was putting a lot of effort into, of course, with different vocal styles and stuff, you know, to try to, you know, in certain parts of songs or whole songs, you know, really work on, like, vocals to adapt to what kind of riff it was behind or what kind of melodies or what kind of mood the song was. So, I mean, every song has really a lot variety of the vocals. It's not just the same kind of vocal style through the whole album, but it's just, yeah, a lot of different styles here and there, you know, just depending on the mood of the riffs behind it, you know.
So does this kind of show that you were, you know, kind of getting a little bit too used to the older band style and you wanted to shake things up, or what was it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to try to be creative, so to say, you know, and pushing the envelope forward, you know. I mean, for me, it's very important not to try not to repeat myself, you know, both vocal-wise and sound-wise or music-wise, you know, just try to step a little bit forward and try to develop as a songwriter and producer and a musician, I guess, you know.
And do you think it's easier, I mean, when you handle all the duties versus when you have a band and everybody has different opinions?
I mean, it's quite confusing when you do things yourself, you know, because there's really no one to really bounce back to, you know. So you just really have to follow your heart. I mean, of course, when you're a band, you know, it's much easier to bounce ideas around and see where it goes, you know, but this time it just goes with your heart, I guess, you know. And a lot of times it's really confusing, you don't know, is it good or is it bad, but, you know, as long as you trust your instinct, you know, then it's okay, but it takes a while, everything, you know. When, you know, it takes four times as long to do this, you know, when you first got to write the song, then you got to perform it, and then you got to produce it, and then you got to mix it, you know, so there's a lot of steps you have to do as a one-man band, you know.
And has it happened that you come up with your final product and you kind of like pre-screen it to some people and they just say that, oh man, this completely sucks or something like that?
Yeah, well, it happens. Like, you know, some people go like, wow, this is not really paying. Should you really do it like that, you know? If you, you know, sitting with friends and you play them some demo stuff, you know, and sometimes, you know, like, you know, wow, this is cool, you know. So you never really know. I mean, if I'm really unsure and I play it to someone and they don't really like it, then I know, yeah, that's why I'm unsure, you know.
And how hard is it to switch back from, you know, the other albums you produce, the Hypocrisy work, and this? I mean, do you transition or you just have, like, set amounts of time that you would, like, decide, okay, I'm going to focus on Hypocrisy, I'm going to focus on producing, I'm going to focus on Pain?
I mean, I usually try to set up, some kind of schedule for a year ahead, you know, so you know what's going to happen, so you don't double book or whatever, you know. I mean, now I know I'm going to be busy with Pain all the year through. I've been busy with it since, I guess, December, you know, when I started recording the album, you know. But that doesn't mean that I don't sit and write new material all the time, you know, because otherwise it would be really hard to go in and record for the new album and stuff like that. Like I said, with this Pain album, I've been writing riffs for over 2 years, you know, to be able to really book the studio for a certain date and go in and finish the album, kind of, you know. So you have to have, a lot of pre-work, you know, before you do things. So I'm constantly writing music, so I won't, hopefully you won't run out of ideas and stuff like that when it's time to go into the studio.
So do you more or less then have the whole songs already structured and tracked out, or are you still shifting a little bit, the bits and pieces when you're in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's, you know, songs and riffs that, like for this album, you know, that I started writing on in 08, you know, and you know, when you start listening to it like 2 years later, you can go like, ooh, maybe that wasn't so good, so you throw it away or you change it and stuff like that when you're in the studio to record it, you know. So it's all good to have some time in between writing and then finalizing it, you know, because I think that really takes away the quantity and hopefully keeps the quality, you know.
And, I mean, in all the stuff you produce, have you ever been tempted if, you know, you heard this really cool part and whatever album you're working on and you've been tempted to be like, huh, I might like that part?
Oh, you mean like stealing or something?
Oh, not steal, but just, you know, get inspired or borrow a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything I do, I mean, like recording or listening to radio or TV or out on the web or whatever, you know, if you hear something cool, you automatically, you know, get influenced by it, I think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's true. So, I mean, now that the album is out, the first single is out, Dirty Woman, can you tell us a bit more about, you know, this track and the pretty funky video, which we're kind of confused about, the guy destroying the drum kit on the back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a cliche video, you know, and I mean, the whole thing was just to, was going to do like one video. They gave us a budget for one video, and we said, like, let's try to do two with one budget. So we just said, like, you know, let's try to not be so fucking serious, you know, and do something funny. So, I mean, I actually just came up with this idea when I was with Hypocrisy on tour in South America, sitting and throwing some beers, and just came up with this idea about, you know, having us in the front just being all serious, and then you have a drummer that goes fucking banana, you know, in the back. I never seen that before on a video, you know. It would be fun to see, you know. And so that's what we did, you know. And first it was supposed to be like a one take from one camera, one angle, you know, and then, you know, we started thinking about setting the drums on fire and do some pyro stuff, you know, in there, and then it was like, okay, we can't do it with one shot, because if it goes all to hell in one shot, can't we do it, you know? So, I mean, it was just a fun thing to do. I mean, it ain't that serious. It's only rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and especially when bands take themselves too seriously, it's not never a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the other songs in the album, there's some pretty good songs. What would you say that it's set to be the second single and or the song that you would prefer to make a video out of?
Actually, I mean, you know, since Dirty Woman doesn't sound anything like Pain, I guess, you know, that's why we chose it to do the first one, you know, to get some reactions out, you know, and we got a lot of reactions, you know. So, I mean, it, you know, a lot of good ones and a lot of bad ones, and we knew that when we putting that song out, that this is going to happen, so it's great, you know. Now we got shit heating up, you know, on the net, and that's really cool. And now we're going to do The Great Pretender as the second video and single, because I think that's what, you know, the Pain fan wanted to hear from the beginning, but we're just fucking with him a little bit.
And, you know, I mean, after all these years of working in music, how do you set challenges to yourself, you know, to keep pushing the envelope and not end up sounding again like before, but, you, I mean, subconsciously, subconsciously, I think.
Well, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty restless person, and I really don't want to you know, walk in the same mud all the time. You know, I want to try different ways all the time, and I think I always did that with hypocrisy as well. And for 20 years now, you know, try to constantly come up with something new for myself. I mean, nothing unique or anything, but something that gets me motivated to keep on, you know, writing music and stuff, you know, because I don't want to write the same shit all over again, you know. And that really motivates me to take a couple of steps forward, or, you know, try to renew myself all the time. And it's not easy, but I'd rather take a longer time to come up with something newer than to spit out an album every year and it sounds the same as the previous album, you know.
Yeah, and how much do you know, I mean, how much do you decide, okay, I'm going to, you know, this foundation works, I'm going to expand, or you just rewrite every single time, just start from scratch, and if it incidentally comes out to sound, you know, like the traditional hypocrisy sound, traditional pain sound, that's just because of who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I can never get away from my style of writing music the way it sounds, you know, that it's, I think that's really impossible, but you can always try to push yourself a little bit, you know. You're always going to have your one foot in the roots of the way you are and the way you write, you know, but you can also try to take the other foot and step into something else, you know. So, I mean, for me, I see, you know, writing music is endless, you know. If you just try to put in some new spices once in a while in the stuff, you know.
And I mean, yeah, that sounds perfect. And over the years, I mean, you've been involved in all those projects, but now you're finally focused. Or is there like any other things that you will wanted to do in the last few years, or you just want to focusing on pain and hypocrisy and producing?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that until something fun comes around, you know. I mean, it's all about being motivated to do other things, you know, of course. You know, and of course, time-wise as well. It's, you know, it's only 24 hours a day, unfortunately, you know. So, but I mean, if there's something comes around, you know, someone comes up with some crazy ideas, I'm always open-minded, you know, to try different things.
And how much are you do you imagine you're willing to push it, you know, within the boundaries of metal, of, you know, pushing the envelope every time?
I don't know, until I'm totally empty, and then I'll just move to Florida and go on pension. No, but I don't know. I will, you know, the only thing that's going to keep me motivated, I think, is my feeling of that I'm always moving forward, you know. If I feel like the new album I did is not as good as the previous one, then I think it's time to rethink, you know. As long as I feel that, yeah, this album is really much better than the last one, then it feels positive to keep on going, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that would be your, you know, your when you know when it's your time to go.
Yeah, I really trust myself on that. I think, you know, that if I feel like, yeah, ooh, that was not so good, then maybe I should reconsider, you know, the profession, you know.
And what would you picture yourself doing if you haven't been doing metal for all these years?
Oh, I have no idea. No fucking idea at all, you know. I have no clue. Just, I don't know, drinking, smoking, coma man, I don't know.
And, you know, I mean, you seem to have everything pretty well figured out. There's some, you know, you have probably scheduled already for a couple of years, and touring-wise, can you tell us a bit more about, you know, what are your touring plans for Pain this time? Are you going to try to make it to North America?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now, this whole year is kind of booked, you know. I mean, we're going to go out in mid-September to mid-November in Europe, you know. And, you know, hopefully after that, we can find a tour that we can support, you know. In America, that makes sense, because we can definitely not do a headline tour, because then we would play in a pizzeria and bars, you know, karaoke style or whatever, you know. I mean, we really want to try to find a good band that we can go out and warm up the audience for and kick their ass and wake them up, you know.
Yeah, and
so we're looking. I mean, Nuclear is looking for me, you know, and we're constantly looking as well, you know. So eventually something's going to come up that's going to, you know, benefit for us to really do it, you know. Because, I mean, with Pain, it's in North America, it's like starting from scratch, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's harder for bands to kind of break here. And
plus we never done any tours in America before. You know, that's so important in America. It's more important in America than anywhere else to really go out, you know, because that's how you make fans. You know, it's not like in Europe. You someone hypes you in magazines and shit, and you automatically sells album, and you know the audience is there for the first time when you go on tour. But in America, it's like you got to work yourself up.
And did you ever consider doing, you know, a joint Hypocrisy Pain tour?
I don't know if that makes sense at all, you know, to be honest. It's like, you know what, you know, if you were a front person in both bands, then it doesn't really make sense, I think.
Well, I mean...
I mean, King Diamond and Merciful Fate did it, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make sense for me.
So you're doubting that you would be able to stand up on stage for 3 hours, or that wouldn't be your concern?
No, that's no problem. No, that's not a concern at all. The most concern is, like, you know, every time you go out for the first time on stage, you go, yeah, well, you know, what's up? You know, your body's just pumping, you know, with the adrenaline and shit, you know. But then the second time after, you know, having a break for 15 minutes and go out again, then it's just like, hello again. Doesn't really make sense at all in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, some people... Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it would be more of a platform if you somewhat did that at some point, you know? Try to sell the different band to the Hypocrisy fans. But I think it's better, like you said, yeah, to make it stand by itself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hypocrisy fan doesn't necessarily like Pain, and that's not the point either, you know? So, I mean... the thing is, you know, I think Pain needs to go a little bit different in crowd-wise, you know, in music style as well, to open up for, I think, you know, to make sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, the only issue here in North America, as you probably notice, is the tour packages. Sometimes you get sandwiched in between a couple of completely different bands.
Yeah, for sure, you know, but... if you know there, I mean, I don't think Pain wants to tour with anything that sounds the same as them, you know. But you know, at least, you know, not a black metal or a death metal. I don't think it would fit at all, you know.
That is true. And tell us a little bit more about, you know, the bonus CD that comes with the official release. I guess we don't get that for release, so we kind of want to get an impression from you guys, since it has, you know, some remixes and stuff.
Yeah, there were some people who've been doing some remixes on from the new album and stuff, and it was more or less like, hey, can I do a remix? I'm like, yeah, sure, I don't know if I'm going to need it, you know, but go ahead, you know. And then all of a sudden I had like four of them, and I told the record company, and they're like, oh, cool, maybe we'll just put them as a bonus. I'm like, yeah, why not, you know? It's fun to see, you know, other people interpretate, you know, music, but in a more techno style or whatever you want to call it, you know. And then there's four live songs. That's one is from 08 and one is from 09, I think. And also there's one song that didn't make it to the album. That's you know, more like a bonus track. And also on iTunes we did another song that didn't make it on the album. So you know, when you get the album on iTunes, you get an extra song, and when you get the bonus album, you get another extra song, because I had like three or four that didn't make it to the album, you know.
And how important do you, have you seen that over the years? This is, you know, this is becoming all the bonus stuff, the online bonus. You know, since the whole paradigm of people buying actual physical records is changing, what are your thoughts on how it's been, you know, transferring to the model now that you need to include a bunch of stuff and everything for people to be more attracted to actually buy the CD?
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it's both positive and negative. You know, the bands really have to work to really, you know, get some special shit out, you know. And of course, the record companies are really getting desperate, you know, and they need cool packages and stuff to really get their money back for what they've thrown out to the bands to go to studios and promotions and stuff, you know. So everything changes a lot, you know. I mean, it's both good and bad with the downloading, you know. A lot of people discover new bands by downloading some stuff, you know. But, yeah, also you got to remember that I guess the record company needs to survive somehow to bring out the bands, you know. I mean, maybe it's going to be just Facebook bands and MySpace bands in the future. I have no clue, you know. But, well, you know, a lot of people go to the show because you cannot simulate that on MP3s, you know. And people enjoy going to shows and stuff. And I mean, I see with pain and hypocrisy that there's more people showing up all the time, you know, even though if the sales doesn't increase that much, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And metal seems to be kind of a market that people actually do want to see the live show versus other markets where they pretty much don't care about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's still light in the tunnel, I think, you know. We shouldn't be depressed or anything. You just gotta, you know, go with the new generation and try to find new ways of, you know, getting people to get into your music.
And have you seen, you know, a big effect on, like, the budget that that bands come with you to you for production versus before?
Both yes and no, but I mean, it's more or less, you know, a lot of people do their stuff at home, but they really still don't know how to mix it, you know. It takes a little bit more, so they send it away to bigger studios to get it mixed for them, you know. Because a lot of stuff you can do on your home computer, you know, like recording guitars and stuff like that, and then re-amp them in our studios and stuff, you know.
So you haven't seen, you know, like, you're not running out of a job based on, you know, this modern technology that allows it to be more homemade than before, that the computers, well, not computers, equipment costs it, you know, incredible amounts of money versus now that it's, well, a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, I don't think I'm in that the kind of hurting, you know. I think it's worse for the big studios, you know, the multi-million studios that really are hurting because they got huge loans and they need to get money in all the time, you know. My stuff is, you know, paid, and it's not a fancy huge studio, you know. It's more like put your both feet on the ground kind of studio, you know. So I'm not gonna die if I don't record a band in 1 month, you know. It's not gonna be a disaster, and that's how I build it up as well, you know, to be flexible.
Yeah, and to accommodate your touring schedules and all that stuff, I assume, too.
Yeah, exactly. But I do always look for jobs, of course, you know, and I always try to look for other kind of music and, you know, just to expand as a producer in all kinds of field and not just only be able to do one kind of music style and I'm stuck, you know. I like to be flexible.
And do you, like, take, you know, people's submissions, or do you, you know, you're really picky with what you want to work with?
No, I mean, it depends, you know. If you know, a band comes up and say, like, yeah, we really like you to produce it, you know, and if you see the ambition in the people, you know, then it's fun to work with them, and it doesn't have to be, like, a known band, you know, for me to get into it, you know.
Mm-hmm. But would you ever consider, you know, there comes this band that sounds like shit, but, yeah, they're paying you a bunch of money. Would you take one for the team?
I don't know. I mean, you know, then you have to make sure when they walk out of the studio that they don't sound like shit, you know. I mean, if they sound like shit when they come into the studio, then it's a piece of cake to make it better.
And how much magic do you think is the limit, you know, from all those bands that they have this amazing studio recording, but then you see them live and it's totally bad?
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of times, you know, with bands I recorded that turn out really good, and then you go to see them play and you go like, ooh, holy shit. But, you know, it's all about experience, I think, you know. You just got to practice and, practice makes you better, hopefully, you know, all the time. I mean, those bands that I saw then that really sucked, when I see them now live, it's like, wow, what a difference. So you just need experience, I guess.
Yeah, and a good sound engineer.
yeah, that too. But, you know, if the band still sucks, you know, and if the sound is good, you know, then what can you do?
Okay, so you just to kind of wrap things up, is there, like, any message you want to say to the Pain fans and future fans in North America that are waiting for the album and wanted to see you guys live on this side?
Yeah, I mean, just hope everybody enjoys You Only Live Twice, you know, and hopefully we'll, if not this year, then beginning of next year, hopefully we get a tour so we can go out and meet all the Painheads in North America.